To connect with the program, call 800-387-8025 or visit the show online at rmworldtravel.com. Welcome back to your RM World Travel Connection.
Welcome back to the New York area, everyone. It's your travel duo, Robert Mary, here again with you as we get back to more travel talk. And first up, a quick word about AMA Waterways River Cruises.
Yeah, you know, the buzz really continues to grow around the debut of the new AMA Magna in May of 2019. And if you're interested in being one of the first to experience this new type of river cruise, you need to book your travels now. You can find out all about it on AMA Waterways' website. And it's really a special ship that's coming. It's a game changer in so many ways. And she'll be sailing an array of different itineraries on the Danube River.
You know, I mentioned this last week, and if you could be in Europe to sail on November 15th of this year, you can go enjoy AMA Waterways' Medieval Treasures River Cruise on both the Rhine and Main Rivers while getting a special two-for-one offer if you book by September 30th. You can check it all out at AMAWaterways.com or RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
Okay, joining us for this segment of our show is Julie Sickle, the editor of Hotels and Lodging for Business Travel News. If you've stayed at a Sheraton in the past and perhaps have moved past the brand as it's hit some hard times, well, Sheraton today is not the Sheraton of yesteryear, and that's exactly what we're going to discuss with Julie.
Welcome back to our show, Julie. Nice to have you on with us again.
Yeah, happy to be here.
All right, so, you know, I want to just share, we're going to talk a little bit about Sheraton. You know, years ago when I worked for Disney ABC, we stayed frequently at Sheraton hotels, and even after I started our parent company back in 1999, Sheraton was in the mix of properties that we patronized. After a bad experience that we had in a location out in San Diego, and noticing really how neglected most of the properties were becoming, we stopped staying at Sheraton, and honestly, really haven't given the brand much thought in recent years. So when I saw your coverage of Sheraton and the new direction that they're trying to take the brand, it caught our attention. Love to know, do you think Sheraton can survive in the lodging industry, Julie, you know, when there's so much more competition out there these days?
That's kind of the question on everyone's mind. I mean, Marriott has a great reputation for revitalizing brand, from its flagship Marriott brand to Fairfield and Courtyard. But the question is, can it stand out even against its own Marriott brand, which is in the same chain scale? And is this new direction that they're going for, sort of this community feel, is it going to be enough to stick in a consumer's brain when there's just so many hotel brands out there?
Julie, what I thought was so interesting was that one of the first things Marriott did with the brand after acquiring it with the merger was they downsized it pretty aggressively. I think they cut over 6,000 rooms, with more expected by the end of this year. But along with the downsizing of the Sheraton brand, they added new rooms, correct?
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing that I think CEO Arne Sorensen wants to emphasize, is that, yes, we're cutting rooms because some of their inventory, I mean, it's really inconsistent. You said it, you had a bad experience in San Diego, and you didn't want to stay there again. So they're cutting some rooms, but they're also adding some rooms at the same time by people who are excited about this brand.
Right. All right, let's talk a little bit about the features. I know that Marriott, as they're trying to reshape Sheraton, they set up a huge, nearly 4,000 square foot mock lobby space at a conference in New York City, sort of to showcase some of the new hotel enhancements. I know there's a community table they're pretty excited about with lots of charging outlets. That sounds great. But what are some of the other new features that they're hoping will reinvigorate this brand?
So they also, with the community tables, have these booth spaces where people can work privately, these flexible studio spaces where people can collaborate in small groups. And then there's also a feature called the coffee bar, which is by day a sort of coffee shop where you can get, you know, small snacks and foods and coffee. And then at night it turns into a bar. So it's trying to be really flexible. Now the tricky thing is, does something like that work in a resort location? It fit very well in New York City,
but
can the resort owners do something that fits for their audience?
Well, you know, and some of the other things that I see that they're going to do, you know, for the business traveler, I do like that the desks that they're going to be offering can be lowered or raised for sitting or standing. And the lobby concept, I actually think, is pretty interesting what they're going to do. Bigger bathrooms with larger showers, also a plus. But Sheraton, you know, they clearly have name recognition in the travel industry, as we've talked about. And I know it, I think it's still the third or fourth largest brand in Marriott's portfolio of 30 brands. But after so many years of neglect and poor customer satisfaction, I honestly don't know if they're going to be able to recapture their former guests. They're probably better off trying to develop an entirely new customer base. You know, and as we just said at the beginning of the interview, the competitive landscape is so much more fierce today. So the odds, I think, are stacked against Sheraton, if you ask me. But as you said, Marriott has had the opportunity, and they certainly have been successful in pulling the rabbit out of the hat with rebranding.
Yeah. I mean, you're not the only one who is very skeptical about whether they can do it. It's brought up constantly during their earnings calls. And one of the sort of markets they're going after is this idea of the team player, this sort of traveler that sees themselves as, you know, wanting to collaborate and wanting to socialize. And the question is whether that's strong enough, whether that's a meaty enough sort of hook for them to go after, whether it's differentiated enough from someone who would, for instance, stay at a Marriott.
You know, we met with the Marriott folks, a year or two ago, and we were talking about how they see their business overall. And they really do see themselves less as a kind of a head-in-a-bed place and more as a content creation, an entertainment location. So, you know, maybe that's where Sheraton's going to go with this. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Julie, as always, we really appreciate you checking in with the report on Sheraton. It'll be interesting to see how things develop. And we wish you happy travels, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. Great to speak with you again.
Take care, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
All right. Bye.
All right. So there's the report on Sheraton. We'll see how that works out, Mary,
we'll see.
Time
will tell, yeah.
You know, all the marketing and consultants are all working to breathe life back into Sheraton. Time will tell if the traveling public buys in. And on that note, folks, we're going to pause briefly for some sponsor messages. We're going to patch Rudy back in for segment 4. And then Mary and I will bring you Destination Spotlight number 31. Today it's Albuquerque. RM World Travel returns in 3 minutes.
To join Robert, Mary, and Rudy, call 800-387-8025 or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.